Isn't it one of the, isn't it the Bible that says that the fool has said in their heart, there is no Nick Saban? Oh, no, that's not what it says. That's not my version. Oh, well, I feel like I need to right now just for saying that. What a just count it an honor and a privilege to be here. The preachers that are here are just, I just love to hear all of them, and I listen to all of the preachers here every chance I get. And again, I will be like Steve. I won't be shy about repeating something you say that's good. There's not a lot of bones here. This is a, you know, this is filet. It's a flounder filet this weekend. I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of the preaching. You know, these conferences is Paul talked about fellowship as and getting together as refreshing. It refreshed him to get to see people and to be around people. And I think about that when I'm out in the summer and you're outside working and you're sweating and you're hot and you come inside and you get a nice cold drink of water. And that's what these conferences are. They're big old drinks of water where you can just refresh, and it's an honor to be a part of that. And when you don't have them as often as you used to, you really appreciate the ones you can get to and can have. I want to shout out to my congregation that's here. I would say, other than Steve, I have the highest percent of the congregation represented here, and my four that are here. We Dave and Sherry and Steve and Wanda are here from Asheville, and appreciate them. And we've been together a long time, and I don't know, they're a glutton for punishment, I guess. So they feel sorry for me one, but they keep having me up there, so I'll keep going. So I'm not sure where I want to start. We want to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So let's go there. And I won't hold you too long. And you, I have to say that. I heard a joke the other day. There was a preacher, and he was an older preacher, and he had to get dentures. And so his teeth was all falling out, rotting out, so he got dentures. The first Sunday after getting dentures, he only got up and he only spoke 10 minutes. Next week he came up, he got 20 minutes in, and he stopped. And that third week, he preached an hour and a half. And one of his members come up and said, "Preacher," he said, you preached, first week you preached 10 minutes, second week you preached 20 minutes, and this week it's an hour and a half. What's the difference? He said, "Well, the first week my mouth was really sore, and I just couldn't go any longer." He said, "And the second week, the dentures, they were kind of slipping, just wasn't comfortable." And they said, "Well, what about this week? What happened? Must really be feeling better." He said, "No, I actually had my wife's dentures in today." So, I don't have Kim's dentures in today. She don't have dentures. I better clarify that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Yeah, we'll get started. I want to start. No good place to jump in, but I'm just going to start in verse 3. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." And so I want to just clarify, the context here has to do with the gospel, right? "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So he's referring here, and the gospel here has to do, and he's equating it to and giving an analogy as God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. So in Genesis chapter 1, where God said, let there be light, and there was light. And what that light did was it made the creation usable. It was the first thing that had to happen. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then God said, let there be light. And that began that creation process there of the earth being not without form and void, being usable, being productive, being as it was intended to be created. The Bible says that He created the earth to be inhabited and to be fruitful and to do the purpose there that He had set forth. But the first thing had to be the light. And the gospel is the exact same way. We're born without form and void. We're born sinners. We're born unable to please God, unable to do anything in our flesh that would be pleasing unto the Lord. And we need the light of the glorious gospel to shine into our hearts that enables us, and that is that creation that creates that new man in us that makes us where we are able to have good works. We are able to do things that, as Ephesians chapter 2 says, that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so that gospel, that's the power there. He talks about the light, and light and power go hand in hand. When you, the old folks, I still say it sometimes, is you pay your light bill. Well, what is that? Well, that's your power bill. And they're used interchangeable. I know down in where the hurricane was, Florida, their energy company is called Florida Power and Light. It goes together. So the gospel here, and it's where it all has to start. And notice verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power, there it is, may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure. The treasure of the gospel, and not just the treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we have Christ Himself in us. And it's not our flesh. Anytime Paul did anything for the Lord, it was the grace of God that was with him, that was in him, that he gets the glory. We don't get the preacher standing up here. We don't get glory. We shouldn't want glory. We shouldn't get glory. We have something that we have, as I believe Brother Sam read last night. Why are you boasting? Why are you bragging? Why are you about something that you received yourself? And the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And this treasure is that it is that Christ in us. And it is that new man. And it's in this earthen vessel, this inward man. And Paul begins to talk about this as you go on. We'll keep reading here. We have this treasure in earthen, the notice verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. We are in an earthen vessel that is dying, has that sin nature. It has all of the trappings of any other human being. Just because you've trusted Christ as your Savior does not put you on a pedestal to where your flesh is going to act any better than it ever did outside of what the Word of God can do. You have that same flesh that anybody else does, and you're not any better than anybody else. Sometimes we kind of get a little high and mighty because we've reached a plane. Well, look at what Paul says about that. Hold on to 2 Corinthians and turn over to Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, and notice verse verse 14, Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know, not I think so, or I could be, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now that is Paul speaking in the present tense. He's not talking about in his time past. He's talking about right now, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We're like these pens up here. Not good for anything. This flesh is not good for anything except for the fact that if you've trusted Christ, you have Christ in you. That's the only thing. And we have His Word that we can grow and we can learn. But no good thing here. Notice verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Even when you do good, you know what the first thing you think about when you do something that you think's good? You get pride. It's right there, looking over your shoulder. Pride and anything. Even when you do good, evil is present with you. We've got this thing. But notice verse 22. For I delight in the law after the inward man. That's that new man. That's the man that was created and holy, according to Ephesians chapter 4, in holiness and true righteousness. But I see, verse 23, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I was. Nope, am. O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's what I want to talk about for a few minutes here, is the hope that Paul has and the hope that you have of being delivered from the body of that death that you're in right now. We are in a body of death. Our new man groans within itself to be escaped and to be freed from this new man. That's why Paul said in Philippians, I'm in a strait between two, which is to part, to be with Christ, which is far better. But it's more needful for me for you to be here. But he had this hope. And I want to talk about the hope here that we have of being delivered from the body of this death. This painful body that we live in, that is dying, slowly dying. And you have things like cancer, and you have things like Alzheimer's, and you have things like diabetes, and you got all of these things that you're the pain and the heartache and of losing loved ones and all of this. We groan. In fact, look back. We're in Romans. Look over in chapter 8. We've got hope. In Romans chapter 8. Well, we're already in 7. Notice verse 18. Well, let's see. Yeah, let's just start in verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which should be revealed in us. Now, I want you to remember that word glory. All right? There's going to be a theme there. We're going to see this theme, this glory that's going to be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation, that would be the hope, the expecting something, looking for something. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who have subjected the same in hope, the creature. When I read that verse, there was another verse that popped out of, in my head in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If any man be in Christ, he's a new what? Creature. The creature here. The creature was made subject to vanity. You want to know what vanity is? Read the book of Ecclesiastes. This life is vanity. Man at his best state is vanity. Vanity, vanity. It's a waste. I mean, we live in this body of sin. We live in this present evil world where people, you have to lock your doors at night. You know, I was, we were watching the news this morning in the lobby there in the hotel, and they were showing all the calamity in Florida, and then the next thing they showed was that Wall Street had fell and it was dropped 500 points. And I was thinking about that. I know this is carnal, okay? I'm carnal. But I was thinking about that Hank Williams Jr. song that said, the preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you only get mugged when you go downtown. Does that not sound like today? We're living. I don't believe Hank Williams Jr. is a prophet, but hey, that was written in the 70s, I think, somewhere like that. But we're groaning. Notice this groaning here in chapter 8. For the verse 20, the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who have subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Praise the Lord! Unto the glorious liberty of the children of God, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For what we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We are saved by hope. That salvation there is not the salvation of your soul. That's the salvation of you're saved from despair. Go back to 2 Corinthians. You know why Paul could say, as he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that he was in verse 8, troubled on every side, but what? Not distressed. Why? Saved by hope. Right? It all of that there. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Why? We have hope. We live in the same world as everybody else does. We have the same sinful body that everybody else does, but we've got hope. Look over in, hold on to 1 Corinthians again and turn over to chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're in 2nd. Stay there and we're going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul, just one verse here, telling verse. In verse 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know why people are miserable today? You know why the suicide rate is climbing? You know why drug use is climbing? You know why violence is climbing? Because people are miserable. You know why they're miserable? Because they don't have hope. This life, for you, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, right now is as good as it's ever going to be for you. On your worst day is as good as it's ever going to be. That's why people are miserable. But you know what? We ought not act like that. We've got hope. We shouldn't walk around miserable. We shouldn't walk about in distress and in despair. We've got a hope. We've got a hope of being delivered from this body. Delivered from this present evil world. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice first, let's skip down to verse 16 in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, that's the one that you look in the mirror every day and it gets a little grayer, gets a little more wrinkly, gets a little more luggage under your eyes. You're perishing. The old man is perishing. But yet, the inward man is renewed day by day. You can't look in the mirror and see that inward man, but you ought to be able to judge and gauge and where it needs to be, if it needs to be renewed or not. And when you renew that hope, when you renew that knowledge, which this is the way it is renewed according to Colossians chapter 1 is in knowledge. It's in this book. It's listening to teaching and preaching. It re-strengthens and renews that new man. And it continues to remind that new man of a hope that this world is not the end. This is just something, a journey that we got to get there. Just like yesterday, we had a journey to get here. I'm driving. My dad's sitting right beside me. And Kim was when he was talking about road rage last night. Kim looked at me and she said, "You know, you did pretty good yesterday." I was like, "Well, somebody had to keep their head in the car." But let me tell you, there were times I wanted to join in as he was fussing and say, "Amen, brother, preach it." But it was a journey. We endured it. You endure it. And we do that because, notice verse 17, for our light affliction. And that always kills me. Paul called it light affliction. He called it light affliction. Why do I call it? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what? Glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What are we to look for? What are we to look at? What this world is? How bad it is? Are we to dwell on that? Are we to dwell on how bad we feel? No, we don't look at those things. We look at the things you can't see. Because those are the things that last forever. Those are the things that will never go away. When Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, he didn't stop there and start a new chapter. You know, that's for us to kind of gauge where things are and helps us organize. But he continues the thought process here. Absolutely. For we what? No. That's a positive. That is a firm, definite positive. For we know that if our earthly house, this body, earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's not that we are going to have. We have a house. I've got a body waiting for me and it's eternal. You can't see it. I believe that what we have in Colossians chapter 1, he talks about the hope that he's laid up for us in heaven. I believe that we don't even have the mental capacity to understand what that really means.
Amen.
That it is far more exceeding that we can even think or ask what we have waiting for us in the heavens.
Amen.
And notice this wording in verse 2. Sounds like chapter 8 verse in Romans. For in this we groan. That new man groans for this thing. This old man, not so much. He's looking forward to getting on the couch and watching the football game. But that inward man groans for that which is above. Groan. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. We're groaning for this. We're waiting for this. We're looking for this. This hope that we have. This hope of being delivered from the body of this death. This hope of being delivered from this present evil world. We're waiting for this. And we should live our lives looking for that. In fact, look over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And these verses are read at lots of funerals, and as well they should be. But notice what he says in chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know, if you don't have this hope, you need to sorrow as much as you need to sorrow. Because that, if you don't have hope, what else is there to do but have sorrow? If you don't have this hope, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, when your loved one dies, that's it. There is nothing else. You won't see them. There's no hope. There's no comfort in that. So we're to sorrow not. It doesn't say that we're not to sorrow. We're to sorrow not as others that have no hope. Of course we're going to be sorrow. We're going to have sorrow. But it's not the same kind of sorrow. We have a hope. We have a hope that we will one day be reunited with those loved ones. For this we say, verse 15, for this we say, verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's comfort in that because there's hope. It's the comfort of hope that we have. If I never see you again, if we get killed in a car wreck going home, I don't know. You never know. You can rest assured that if you're saved, you will see me again. That's the hope. And I pray that everyone here is, but there's always that chance. But we're to be looking for this. Look over in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Looking for that blessed hope. Are you looking for that? Are you looking for that blessed hope? Is that something that crosses your mind occasionally? Well, it should probably be more than occasionally. It should be every day. This may be the day. If you're looking for something, you're expecting something. You know, you get your little, we got a little Alexa, and the little green light starts flashing. And I say, Alexa, give me my notifications. And you have one package arriving today. Normally with Kim and Brianna there, it's usually five packages today. Well, then you're looking for that package. You're waiting for it to come. You're waiting. You're looking. We're looking for that. That's where our affection is. That's where our that's where we look in Colossians. I know y'all don't have Alexis. Look in Colossians chapter 3. I'll wind it up here. Verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. There's that word again. You know what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you're saved, you have Christ in you. That means you have the hope of glory. That means that you're to be looking for this. You're waiting for it. You're groaning and earnestly expecting this. And that is to the redemption of your body. And one more verse in Philippians, and I promise I'll be done. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we, what? Look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. We're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We're looking for this, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. My prayer for you today is, if you're lost, that today will be the day that you will put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did. You could have this hope. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to pray through to get it. You just simply receive what Jesus Christ has already provided for you, trusting Him as your Savior where you sit right now, and you can have this hope. If you are saved, look for it. Look for those things which are above, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for those are the things that last forever. Thank you for your time.